This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Slave narratives, some of the most powerful records of our past, are extremely rare, with only 55 post-Civil War narratives surviving. A mere handful are first-person accounts by slaves who ran away and freed themselves. Now two newly discovered narratives and the biographies of the men who wrote them join that exclusive group with the publication of the new book, A Slave No More, Two Men Who Escaped to Freedom, by award-winning historian David Blight of Yale University, and he joins us live on the phone. Good afternoon, David.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I have been looking forward to this. It is what an amazing discovery. First, if you can, just underscore the fact for us how very, very rare these accounts are that we have of these enslaved people telling their story of getting out of slavery.
Yeah, this was a historian's dream, frankly. These two autobiographies by former slaves all but fell into my lap. The first of them was brought to me by a literary agent in Boston working on behalf of the document's owner. That's the narrative of John Washington. And then in about the same six-month period, about 6 months later, I was invited to speak at Greenwich, Connecticut, at their little local historical society. This was shortly after I moved to Yale 4 years ago. And while there, they came to me and said that their staff thought they had an authentic slave narrative, and sure enough, they did. The Wallace Turnage narrative had ended up there because Turnage's daughter, his only surviving daughter, had lived to be 99 years old. Her name was Lydia Turnage Connolly. She married an Irish immigrant hotel worker who took her to Greenwich in the 1940s. She died in 1984 in a nursing home and left one box of material to an elderly neighbor who actually is still alive. And that neighbor sat on that box, or held it, for some 18 years until she watched a television documentary in early 2003 called Unchained Memories, which is all about the WPA oral histories of the 1930s. And shortly after that, she called up the Greenwich Historical Society and said, "I may have something that will interest you." And they sent someone over, and that person said, "Yes, you do." And so within the same six-month period, these two rare, extraordinary memoirs of former slaves, both largely telling the story of their emancipation in the midst of the war, pretty much fell into my lap.
We're talking with award-winning historian David Blight of Yale University. His new book is A Slave No More. It tells the story, the first-person accounts of two men who escaped slavery. David, why is it that we don't have more of these first-person accounts?
Well, there are many reasons. One is that literacy was not that widespread among American slaves. Roughly 5 to maybe as much as 8% of American slaves were literate. And, of course, not that many escaped before the Civil War. In spite of what people may think from what they hear about the Underground Railroad, we have only about 65 of these published in English before the Civil War. And these include the more famous ones, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Jacobs, and others. And then in the post-war period, from 1865 until about the 1920s, when the last of American slaves began to die off who would write their story, we only have about 55. Part of the reason also is that in the post-war period, it was not easy for former slaves to get these things published. There was no obvious access to the publishing world, their stories weren't that welcome by the turn of the 20th century in the larger reading public. For some American former slaves, this was not necessarily the part of their lives and their stories they most wanted to recollect, and hence, there may have even been a certain degree of reticence among African Americans themselves. But it does show us that this first form of African American literature, the slave narrative, will continue to evolve as a genre and as a source, because these discoveries that were in effect, given to me to work with, it'll happen again. There will be another box in the attic,
right.
So to speak, that will come to someone else.
There are stories out there as we speak that have yet to be discovered or published.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
The book is A Slave No More, Two Men Who Escaped to Freedom. David, tell us about these two men. One of them, of course, was from right near Charlottesville in Fredericksburg.
Indeed. John Washington was born in Fredericksburg in 1838. His father was a white man, although one of the great frustrations in this project is that I've never been able to figure out exactly who his father was, in part because there are so many Washingtons in the state of Virginia. His mother was a slave woman named Sarah, later Sarah Tucker. But the key thing here is that John Washington grew up a town slave or an urban slave. He grew up in the city of Fredericksburg, and it affected all aspects of his life. He was hired out several times in the late 1850s and the beginning of the war years. He got involved in the black church. He fell in love with a local girl about 5 years younger than he was, a free black woman named Annie Gordon. And because he was hired out, he was able to actually keep a little bit of money over time. And he had a certain degree of privilege, if you like, and even some freedom of movement once he reached adulthood. So his story is in part, his story of his escape in 1862 is in part due to the fact that he was in this town of Fredericksburg, and he chose the first moment the Union troops arrived along the Rappahannock River to seek his freedom among the Union Army. In the other case, Wallace Turnage, it's quite a different story. He was born on a small tobacco farm in Greene County, North Carolina. It was his father also was white, and he knew exactly who he was because he put his father's name on every document the rest of his life. His father's name was Sylvester Brown Turnage. Turnage's mother was a slave woman named Courtney, and he was sold by his indebted owner at the age of 14 to Richmond, Virginia, to a slave trader named Hector Davis, who in turn sold him to an Alabama cotton planter. And in 1860, Turnage, at the age of 14, found himself on a large cotton operation near Pickensville, Alabama, which is right over on the Mississippi boundary. And most of his narrative is the story of his five attempts to escape, most of which are in the midst of the Civil War, the final one coming in Mobile, Alabama, in August of 1864, after he had been sold yet again by his frustrated owner, who got, frankly, tired of running after Wallace. Every time he would escape, he'd go retrieve him and bring him back because he was so valuable. But Turnage's story is much more brutal than Washington's. He experienced all of the heinous treatments we could imagine in slavery: whippings, beatings, chains, neck braces, and all kinds of things.
And that's in his narrative, in his story.
Oh, it is indeed. And he was a kind of a desperate young hero, if you want, in the story that he writes. He finally escaped in August of 64 in a remarkable journey. He walked right out of Mobile, right through the Confederate encampments, where he no doubt was mistaken for yet another black camp hand, of which there would be hundreds around a Confederate army. And his escape is for 3 weeks down the western shore of Mobile Bay through the snake and alligator infested swamps of the what's called the Fowl River Estuary. And he names the Fowl River when he crosses it, probably because he later went back and looked at maps. He eventually escaped out into Mobile Bay in an old rickety rowboat that he says the tide brought in, and he was picked up by a Union gunboat in the waves of the ocean and taken to a sand island fort, where eventually in Fort Gaines on Dauphin Island, the beautiful remains of which are still there, he was offered two choices by the commanding Union general, who interviewed him because they probably wanted intelligence about Mobile.
Sure.
And he was given two choices. One was to join a black regiment, and the other was to become a servant to a white officer, and he chose the latter. And he served out the war as, in effect, a mess cook for a captain from a Maryland Union regiment. And then frustratingly for me and for readers, his narrative ends right at the end of the war. He puts the words "the end" on it, and you want to shake him and say, "No, no, no, no! What happened to you?" But that's what was my challenge in this book, and in many ways, the most interesting part of it to me was this challenge of researching the post-war lives of both John Washington and Wallace Turnage, and I was able to uncover enough information and detail to place them, to know where they were, what occupations they held, their families, their marriages, their churches, and their movements, so that I was at least able to tell the contours of the lives of these two former slaves as they became part of that first generation of a northern black working class in northern cities, John Washington in Washington, D.C., Wallace Turnage largely in New York City. And Turnage lived till 1916, and Washington lived till 1918.
We're talking with award-winning historian David Blight of Yale University. The new book is A Slave No More, Two Men Who Escaped to Freedom, including their own narratives of emancipation. David, I am just struck by the raw courage that these men displayed. I mean, I truly cannot fathom how frightening it must have been to take your life in your hands like that.
It's a very important point, Coy, because we too often see the story of emancipation of the slaves, well, as this kind of inevitable abstraction of the day of Jubilee, the Civil War comes, and then freedom comes, and the slaves are liberated, and so on and so forth. It isn't that way at all. It's an agonizing, very dangerous, very violent process through which slaves reach their point of liberation. And what these two narratives allowed me to do with this book is to take their stories, not only to publish their actual narratives, but to take their stories and show two different, quite different, but nevertheless representative windows into how emancipation actually happened to real people on the ground in the midst of the chaos and often terrible uncertainty of the war. Nothing was certain for either one of them. Even after they had escaped, nothing was necessarily certain. But what we have here is an escape, the escape of John Washington in Fredericksburg, in part by the good luck that the Union Army came, but in part by his own initiative and cunning. In 1862, well, even before the Emancipation Proclamation, and in the other case, 1864, well after the Emancipation Proclamation, in the case of Turnage, and then this time it's to the Union Navy under some desperate circumstances. And through that, I'm able to tell a broader story of the ways in which these days of emancipation actually came to American slaves. And you're quite right. What we have here is evidence that this debate that we've had among historians for the past, 20 years and more, over just who or what freed the slaves, the argument being, you know, on one hand, Lincoln and the armies freed the slaves, a kind of top-down story, but on the other hand, the idea is that the slaves freed themselves, a kind of bottom-up story. Well, the answer to this is, of course, both. Without the proclamation and without the Army and Navy, neither man would have become free, legally or physically, but also without their own bravery and their own courage, also would have never become free either.
Historian David Blight of Yale University, the new book is A Slave No More. David, we've got a couple of minutes left, but I'm curious, do we know why they wrote these accounts? They are so incredibly rare. Do we know in either case why they actually sat down and wrote their story?
It's very hard to tell, but it's a great question. We do know that John Washington wrote his in 1873, so it's about 10-11 years after he escaped. Wallace Turnage did not date his, although he tells us he wrote it in more than one sitting because writing was a struggle for him. I think Turnage wrote his a bit later, probably in the 1880s. But I can speculate. I mean, that's about all I can do. I mean, they may have written these for their children. Turnage had seven children by three wives. His first two wives died on him, and only three of his four children lived to adulthood, and he may have written his for them. Same is possibly true of John Washington. Washington wrote his the year his fifth and final son was born, at a moment when he had children from age 1 to 11. But they may also have written out of a kind of a survivor's spirit, wanting to tell their story, wanting their children indeed to know who they were, because their children had been born on free soil.
Right.
And of course, they may have written for the oldest of reasons that people tell their stories. It's this inherent will to be known, you know, as the will to write. That neither ever tried to publish them, though, tells us that they probably were writing for largely private reasons, although I don't doubt for a moment they probably hoped these would get a wider exposure. But again, what makes them so rare is that they never were touched. They were never edited. They were never submitted to any kind of publication process. So they arrived to us in the raw, unfiltered form of an autobiography by former slaves.
Incredible treasures, really. This is just amazing. Award-winning historian David Blight of Yale University. The book is A Slave No More, Two Men Who Escaped to Freedom, Including Their Own Narratives of Emancipation. David, thank you so much. It's been a real honor to talk to you.
Well, thanks for having me, Corey.
Absolutely. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.